Classic Business, education and training.
Well, we so often focus on the problems and the challenges in the education sector, but what this has done, at least, is unleash a wave of innovation and of social and impact capital too. The education sector, if you look at it as a whole, continues to be quite a hotbed for private sector M&A activity. And the reason for so much private equity interest in the sector is that it's often non-cyclical, it provides significant recurring revenue and very stable cash flows, and in South Africa in particular, it has those social returns as well. Now, the most recent announcement this week is that Sonari Capital, a private equity firm, has concluded a 28 million rand investment in a company called EduLife Group. It's the largest independent school group in the Free State, and the CEO of Sonari, Samantha Pockroy, joins us now. Evening, Sam, and congrats on what looks to be a good deal.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be here, and yes, we're very excited.
Now, I know Sonari quite well, but for listeners, just recap where you play as a private equity firm in the South African space.
Great, thanks. No, we are a private equity fund manager. We operate in what we call the lower and mid market, but our particular area of specialization is in founder-run, owner-managed, and family-owned businesses. So we really bring a lens that helps companies to make what is often a very painful transition between that entrepreneurial stage of founding a business, growing a business into something that is more scalable, and as we like to talk about, saleable and sustainable.
Scalable, saleable, and sustainable. The three S's of Sonari. Now, one has often thought of Sonari as a bit of a tech specialist. After all, you spend quite a bit of time personally in Silicon Valley and with the Ethos Tech Fund. How does this education theme fit into your broader investment mandate?
So Sonari has always looked at ourselves as, if anything, technology-flavored as opposed to technology-focused. And the main reason is, you know, we talk about the fact that technology is really no longer a vertical, but in actual fact, something that is applicable to all businesses in, you know, whether you're coming from a conventional business model or bleeding edge technology. So we have played in all of these areas. We like to bring our technology experience to the table, but really to help all kinds of businesses. And although this business has obviously you know, we have class-based learning, but we are very much bringing our innovation lens to the educational program, both in terms of how we would like to scale the learning, as well as in terms of what we teach. So our educational focus will most certainly be incorporating those more future-proof skills, which takes into account this new digital era and all of the impact that it is having and are going to have socially on society.
And it was a big theme at the Joburg Mining Indaba today. How are we developing the skills to take advantage of the opportunities in sectors like mining, where for many decades we did lead the world in innovation? We have fallen back a little bit, and so we need to reclaim some of that lost ground. And a way to do that is by providing institutions that can provide the skills and the capacity and the foundation. Tell me a little bit more about EduLife. It was founded in the same year that I left high school, back in 1998.
Yes. So one of the most exciting aspects of this investment is that EduLife comes with a very, very long history of educational practices. When it was originally founded by Chris Engelbrecht, it was part of almost a second career for him. He hadn't come from the education space. It was all about how can he give back to society. And his son has really picked up that mantle and seen that the benefits that can be provided through education and the roots of this business is in very, very low-income communities. And the fact that they have for over 20 years provided quality education that is accessible and made a real difference in these communities and the lives of these learners. What their son and the CEO in the business, Hansi Engelbrecht, has realized is that there's an opportunity to really scale this and take it to more communities and more learners. So we get to kind of benefit from this stable, learned base of education, but also now take it into a more kind of exciting growth phase.
From what sort of base? What are the numbers that you're looking at here in terms of students and what are you targeting?
Yeah, so we have there's three schools at the moment, and we will be opening a fourth school. It ranges from a low income through to a lower mid income and then a mid to upper income school. What is quite exciting about this combination that we have is that it obviously has different economic factors that impact on the growth of those areas, but also that we're able to leverage a lot of the curriculum, a lot of the overhead, et cetera, across multiple schools to be able to bring the benefits across the board base. So we're looking at taking students, we currently have about 1,200 learners across the three schools, and we're looking to more than double that in the next 5 years. So it's and that's just in the schools that I've mentioned, these first four schools. And obviously, we would be looking to continue the expansion as well beyond that initial stage.
Sam, when you look at private equity, and you know, there's a tension here. If you look at a challenge for private equity, the goal of so many education initiatives, especially here in South Africa, is to lower the cost of education. But doing so, surely, it will cap the upside in terms of the investment itself. How do you manage those sorts of tensions?
One of the hardest parts of investing in education is really when you're starting with a brand new school. So the cost of education, ultimately, when you get to a point where the schools are at full capacity, as a matter of fact, you're able to leverage those scale economies and be able to provide a lower cost but still quality education. Obviously, in the lower income options, you don't get all of the perks or all of the frills, let's call it. But it's certainly possible to offer an affordable education when you hit scale. The difficulty is when you're starting with a school from scratch. And that, again, is how we have balanced the risk and return prospects in this particular investment. But we have schools that are operating at full capacity. So we're able to already be moving off of that particular type of base. And ultimately, the growth can be not only within the schooling, each particular school. Obviously, once you reach capacity for a school, you obviously don't want to grow your revenues through price increases, etc. Then the idea is to continue to roll out and expand, and we really see the opportunity to take this business quite wide, be it nationally or even beyond the South African borders. And on that basis, we see very attractive returns for our investors. And our investors look for both the financial return and the social return. And we think that this is an ideal opportunity to provide that.
Yeah, well, Nelson Mandela famously said that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. So on that note, Sam, great deal, great to you as always.
Thank you. Thank you for the time.
That was Sanari CEO Samantha Pockroy. Pusuletso Peterson is standing by on the traffic desk.